Welcome to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
I think that this world, it needs men that are willing to make the hard call.
Central Maine's best comics podcast, by default.
Ain't no thing like me, Stephanie.
Here are your hosts, Zach and Jared.
Matt's coming. No. When do we start?
Way to go, Craig. And welcome back to the Editor's Note Comics Podcast.
What? Craig? Who? What?
Oh, just that thing from the start of The Last Dance.
Oh, yeah.
When Jerry Krause walks out, you just see, way to go, Craig. Which has, I think, been my favorite moment. But we're not there yet.
Is awesome.
We're not to sports yet.
No.
We're here to talk about things. I'm Zach, and I'm here with the constant quarantine breaker, Jared.
I'm not constantly breaking quarantine.
You love to break the quarantine.
Social distancing is still maintained throughout.
You know that picture of like the book of matches where it's like there's one that's ducked below, like this one, save the rest. You're not the one that ducked below. You're one of the ones on fire. You're a flaming match.
Oh my God.
Streaming throughout society.
Oh, I'm not streaming throughout society.
Trying to burn it all down.
I am not trying to burn it all down. I went and was at a socially distanced fire. Everyone kept their distance.
See fires. Burn it all down.
Oh my God.
Sure,
you know what?
I'll keep tabs on your social life, make sure that you're publicly shamed as you should be. But what are we going to do here this week? We're going to talk about the news as it is. There's a little bit.
I heard something about the New Mutants.
Yeah. This week in comics history, you can't change history. It's already there. History is written by the people that, I guess, lived through it.
The winners, Zach. History is written by the winners.
When we're talking about pop culture stuff, I mean, it's probably less of that. Sports reports, there's a little bit.
A little.
Now we go back to the 60s to talk about the origin of the X-Men, and it's kind of a doozy. There's a lot to talk about in there. And then your questions. It's singular. I don't know why I always say plural. And then a listener question.
I have nothing to add.
I was going
to
say, yeah, how's your weird quarantine in a dark, damp house by yourself? You've been there for a while.
It's not a dark, damp house.
It's true. You don't have a basement, so I guess it wouldn't be that dank.
I have skylights. I get plenty of sunlight and daylight.
So I feel like I'd go nuts if I like wasn't living with someone.
Yeah, I'm reaching that point, but...
What's been your lowest low that you're willing to publicly share?
My lowest low?
Yeah. What's your quarantine low?
The night I didn't even want to drink a beer. I was like, I just don't feel it. I'm just going to...
You're like, I'm existing.
I guess my low was when I realized I had put on like 7 pounds. Since then, I have carved off those 7 pounds. So
that's why the scale is there. It's there to judge you and inform you.
I thought about breaking the scale at one point. I was so mad at it. Then I realized this is not the scale's fault. This is your fault. And also, poor scale, because it has to look up at you when you're naked. So I felt pity on the scale.
Do you think this is a brave little toaster universe?
At this point, man, I don't know. Okay.
It would be started naming a little toaster universe where it's just like, oh God, it's the balls again.
I've started naming all the items in my house. All the appliances have names now. Yeah, that's where it's at.
All right. There's that. We're on quarantine still. So let's go from, I didn't have a good transition. I was trying to get it from quarantine to the news, but I wanted to make it fun and playful. I didn't get a fun wordplay.
Oh boy. Well, how about this? All the news that is sort of.
Wasn't a good one, but we're going to do it. Play a theme.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's time for the news.
All right, there's some news this week. There's not a ton.
Okay.
Let's start with the bad, or the experimental. Marvel's in its college years, just trying some stuff out.
Ah, okay.
But Marvel is going to start doing select titles digitally first before they go to print in comic shops. How's this going to work for digital sales versus physical?
And?
Boo!
Yeah, probably. You're right.
Why do they need to test the market? They're owned by Disney. You have all the money.
Yeah, what market do you need to test? What market testing is there to be had?
Like, how could we screw over like the one area that we have to like do market testing for future stories? My God. No, don't do digital first, you jackasses.
Maybe, like I said last week or before, maybe everything is moving towards all digital, where you can't print, now you got to pick up.
I don't think that's never going to happen fully with comics, but where print medium goes for like where you can pick it up might change. I don't know where it would go. I can see a world in the future, because I mean, things have kind of disappeared from, you know, like grocery stores back in the day, or like corner stores that used to have stuff. Like those are gone as far as comics goes. It's basically down to the specialty shop. But I can see a future where it's just you have to order like directly through like a marvel.com. I don't think that's out of the reach of possibility.
Remember when like you'd go to the store with, maybe it was just me, like your parents, you'd go to the store when you were younger and your parents would like go and do all the grocery shopping and you just hang out at the newsstand and like read a magazine or a comic book or something? Or is that just me?
The Shop and Save that we used to go to, there was a toy store next door, so I'd just go over there for like half an hour.
Well, it used to be like Laverdier's was next to the store. I'd go in there and like hang out in the arcade when Laverdier's was a thing.
Yeah.
And there was an arcade.
I heard about Laverdier's a lot when I was at the store. Like way too much.
Well, you know.
But yeah, I think this is, I don't know. DC is, these people at DC have been doing a pretty concerted effort of trying to like help comic shops, and Marvel's like, or the other thing. Let's not. Thanks, guys.
It's a very real possibility. They don't know kind of where things are going, and I mean, this could go on for some time, so maybe they are testing the digital market, perhaps, to see how that is as far as keeping things going.
Yeah.
Maybe. But again, like you said, it's going to take the ball out of the local comic book shop's hands when you can't get the actual physical copy.
Yeah, if people can buy it cheaper digitally first, that kind of ruins incentive for people to pick up books. And there are certainly people that are collectors and people that are completionists. But I mean, at the same time, like there are so many people that buy so many books now. Like the collectors, like the speculator market, it's not dead, but it's definitely less because everyone knows that everyone's just buying everything and preserving it. So I don't know. I think it's a bad, weird call. What else we got? This is going to be a fun one to try and pronounce. Screw it, I'm not going to even try. The guy that played Jango Fett in the Clone Wars, well, he's back. He's going to do Boba Fett in Mandalorian Season 2.
The guy who played
Jango Fett.
Let me look up his name. Let me see if I can pronounce it.
Not even going to try.
I would say Temuera Morrison.
Sure.
He's back. He's 59 years old.
But probably just doing the voice. He can probably get away with that.
Yes.
We got a hint of Boba Fett in Season 1 of The Mandalorian, and well, I guess he's officially alive.
He was Abin Sur in the 2011 Green Lantern.
Cool.
The best of the Green Lantern movies.
The only one. What a bad movie. Remember that had a huge marketing push, and it was just such crap.
Yes. He was in Scorpion King 3.
Thank God.
That's
Scorpion is king.
He's in a lot of direct-to-video movies.
Hey, man's working. Can't blame him. I don't think you ever get to see him, like, they're never going to take the helmet off. I think it's just the way you go about that, because the age isn't going to work.
No, he's in the Dora the Explorer movie.
Great. Who cares? Was that a movie?
Yeah, it just came out this last year, Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Good for her.
He was also in Aquaman.
Yeah, he was. He played Aquaman's main base dad.
Thomas Curry.
Who was from New Zealand.
And he was in Moana.
Good flick. Like that flick.
Yes. The Rock. Give me more of The Rock. I need a lot of The Rock.
Well, I don't have any of The Rock news for you this week. There actually was some. I didn't write it down, though. So you just have to deal with that. But yeah, he's back as Boba Fett, because, you know, everyone loves Boba Fett for some reason, for his, like, 45 seconds of screen time where he does nothing but die like a buffoon.
He gets his head rocked off.
I get it. He has a cool design. His face has a big T on it. Good for him. I don't know. Did Boba Fett ever do anything for you?
No, not really.
I had a little Boba Fett, like, tiny plastic statue. I remember, like, maybe a 4-inch one when I was a kid, but...
Boba Fett was more like a,
Boba
like
Fett.
A novel.
Boba Fett!
Like, he kind of really exploded in the novels.
Yeah, I mean, he does more stuff in the expanded universe, but he does have a cool design, but I don't know. Not deserved, I guess. He's not that interesting to me, but sure, why not? New Mutants has a new release date. My theory that coronavirus is a hoax perpetrated by the people that have to release New Mutants so no one ever has to see it may have been debunked yet again.
That is not your theory either, by the way. That is not a theory at all, I don't believe.
Just think so no one has to see it. It's been pushed back to August, which, I don't know, what is that? 2 years later? 3 years later? I've honestly lost track of how many years delayed this movie has been. August 28th.
You'll be seeing terrible ideas and takes tonight, by the way. Like, this might be one of your all-time lows for takes on this podcast.
August 28th. We'll have our asses in seats in theaters 6 feet apart, 15 feet apart. Who knows? For whenever movie theaters open back up, and then we'll close immediately because of a second wave of a virus.
You know what is really kind of annoying right now for me is I get bad like spring allergies, so I cough and sneeze a lot and have like a runny nose because of the allergies from the, and like
so whenever you're out in public breaking quarantine, people look at you funny because you're coughing.
I wear a mask in public.
Okay,
it's probably the most attractive I've been in public in years.
Yeah, because you broke your nose 17 times in 2 weeks.
It wasn't 17 times in 2 weeks. It was 4 times in 2 months.
That was crazy. You just kept breaking it.
Oh my gosh, it was not fun. Not gonna lie. The first time was kind of like the novelty of it. Like, oh, broke my nose. Oh, I'm gonna go get surgery and like having the surgery and you know the whole experience. First time, it's like kind of like a novel experience. Second time, horrific, embarrassing.
Maybe we should put that in my ass. There's video of you getting your nose broken once. Maybe that we should put that out on Patreon.
You don't have the video of me getting my nose broken.
No, but you do.
I don't know if I do anymore, actually.
Just that video clip of a ball hitting you straight in the face. Thanks, security cameras.
I passed it to the kid. The kid kicked it right back into my face. Another kid kept playing like nothing happened while I'm like crouched down in pain, just searing pain.
The other bit of news,
the workman's comp people of the district were not happy about it at all.
Other bit of news this week, some things have gone back into production, depending on where they are located. Mostly overseas productions, or exclusively overseas productions. Stuff like Avatar 2 through 97, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Lord of the Rings, they're all back, baby.
Good, some fresh content coming our way then.
Yeah, apparently if you're going to be doing something, you got to be out of the United States.
I'm not like, you know, I'm not sitting here like, oh God, I need new content. Somebody needs to rush back and have things be normal. But I mean, if they're going to be able to find ways to do it safely, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be like a pretty strict process for being there on any of these films or TV. Also, I mean, it's not like I'm really craving new content just because there's so much stuff out there, like all the streaming services. Like, there's just so much. I'm not really like, oh man, now I have nothing to watch. Like, no, there's a lot. If anything, it's kind of nice to be like, aha, everything's on hold.
Let me catch up on content. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's never going to happen anyway. Also, where's Star Trek Discovery Season 3? Just give me that.
That's a good point.
I think that's done. But that's it for the news. Not a ton. Like you do. It's a pandemic. There's not a ton of news. So from there, we're going to move on to This Week in Comics History.
Superhero Landing coming up.
This Week in Comics History.
Oh, we're going to go all the way back to the 1800s for this one.
Wow, the 1800s.
Yeah, and I know I've mentioned this many a time, but, you know, new listeners, so we'll mention it yet again. In 1893, okay. William Moulton Masterson was born, the creator of Wonder Woman, also the creator of the lie detector test, which he also rebunked later saying it's really inefficient, and it's also really not admissible in court, so don't worry about it. But why is he an interesting fellow? Well, he was bohemian before bohemian was a thing. He had a wife and they also had a mistress together. And they had 4 children combined. And the 2 kids that were from the mistress, they're like, oh yeah, your dad just died in a plane crash. Don't worry about it. But yeah, they're also super into threesomes, like, you know, at a time where that would have been taboo. And Wonder Woman, the bands that she wears on her arms, those were, the mistress wore those. And the whole like thing of like, oh, Wonder Woman's powers. This is early in the day. It's like every single issue. It's like the only way you can take away her powers is to bind her, like in a bondage kind of way. Yeah, that was just weird. Straight out of their sex life. He was also super fat and it killed him. And the women like stayed together for the rest of their lives. So that's a thing. You've heard this before.
Yes, I have. You're just kind of like, yep. Yep.
Hey, This is what we call a reset in the biz. People who haven't heard it before got to hear it for the first time.
Cool. So I've heard it like the 8th time.
Respect the reset. I just think he's a weird dude.
He's, yeah, very weird, very strange.
And the women were like really into being like, hey, birth control should be a thing. They got arrested a bunch. It's all a deal. There's a book about it. You should read it. There's also a movie that I didn't see that came out like 2 years ago.
What's the name of the book?
Like Secret History of Wonder Woman or something. And the movie was like Wonder Women. I don't remember. I didn't see it.
There are some strange people like within comics. I mean, you have Alan Moore who worships a snake god, Glycon. Glycol is like something different. Like it's a chemical. My bad.
Sounds like something you can stop gingivitis with.
It's part of alcohol. Never mind then. I know glycol very well.
Except when you're at your lows, you're like, I can't even have the glycol.
I just like got tired of beer. Don't worry. I've cured myself of that.
Well, maybe next time you'll actually try beer and not water.
I actually, what I did to mix it up, went back to Bud Light.
It's not a good, you're not like I've upgraded my life.
I haven't downgraded it either.
Yeah, you're still scraping the bottom of the barrel. In 1964, an Amazing Spider-Man number 15.
Excuse me, I'm not drinking like Narragansett.
Okay, good.
Or Keystone Light.
Or Natty Light.
I'm not drinking, not drinking Nasty Light. See?
There you go.
Could be worse.
In 1964, Kraven the Hunter made his first appearance in Amazing Spider-Man 15. He likes to wear a vest of a tiger's head. Sometimes it shoots lasers from his nipples. He also wears a dancer's shoe and leopard print pants. Leggings. Tight leopard print leggings. But also one of the more famous Spider-Man villains, of course, with Kraven's Last Hunt. And if you look at those cover, he's just straight wearing a thong. Well, what else happened? Straight thongs.
I don't know how to respond to that.
In 1968, in Avengers number 54, Ultron made his first cameo appearance as the Crimson Cowl, only to be revealed later as a big old robot, which is why in the movie Age of Ultron, when Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch find him, he just has a red cloak draped over him for some reason. Like, callback. But, wow, you know,
I didn't know that.
Slightly inefficient callback. Like, why does he just have a blanket on? Why does he look like a babushka? What the hell else happened this week?
I don't know. That's your job to dig up the history.
In 1976, this is an interesting one. So Superman, the creators of Superman, Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster, sold the rights to DC Comics for like $130. They had no rights beyond that. And then they tried to sue them in the 50s, and that didn't go super well, and their names were removed from the property altogether. But in 1976, their credit was returned in Superman 302. Not that it really gave them more money, but at least they got credit. They died very poor.
Yeah, I remember it's another reset, which we've talked about on this show.
Yeah, we have probably. I'm sure we've talked about Superman once or twice. So from Craig Hollist, Mr. Immortal, to way to go, Craig, it's time for Jared Sports Reports.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. Bare-chested. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
It's time for another Jared Sports Report.
Well, sports fans, there's not much going on. Although Arizona did say that they are getting ready to host sports. Seems like Major League Baseball could be one of them coming back. UFC actually held an event to Saturday night in an empty arena. It's a pretty good event. I caught some of the highlights of it. The strikes are so loud when there's no crowd and you just hear the strikes and you can hear the cornermen talking.
Yeah, just really hear a man getting slapped in the face.
There were some savage knockouts in that as well. NASCAR's back this weekend in Darlington, so there's some sports starting to peter back. Of course, all this with no fans. The Canadian Football League canceled their season.
Basketball is back. Not quite yet.
No, that's getting closer. It sounds like the players want to finish the season.
Yeah, so on Friday, Commissioner Adam Silver had a call with all of the players, then a different conversation with the Players Association. And all this got leaked online immediately. And the short and the long of it is they are going to make a decision in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Although there seems to be definitely a push saying that they're going to be going just straight into the playoffs. We'll be playing 7-game series and it'll probably be on 2 campuses. They want to drop the word bubble because that sounds like weird and post-apocalyptic between Vegas and Disney in Florida.
Mm.
But yeah, it looks like they're probably just going to jump right into the playoffs.
Possibly. It's
decision will be made in the next 2 to 4 weeks.
I know that in talking with Coach Josh Longstaff of the Milwaukee Bucks last week, it's something that he was really hoping that they would do. So if you want to hear that conversation with Coach Longstaff, you can check out my other podcast. This is what we call cross promotion in the biz, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Milwaukee wants to have their go at it.
By the way, that podcast is the Coach's Room podcast, available on all your favorite podcasting platforms.
So that's how you actually have to say the name of it. The other kind of bit of interesting NBA news is, and this was taken massively out of context, but it's still an interesting quote, is on Instagram Live, Kyrie said that his ideal one-on-one right now would be with Kemba Walker.
Really?
But he was talking about everyone like jumped on it, like saw the clip out of context. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, because he's all upset that like people like Kemba. But really he was talking because Kemba's from New York. He's from Jersey. He was talking about like they were talking about New Jersey, New York basketball. But then Kyrie also being kind of oblivious to what he's saying, like, yeah, I really want to take on Kemba Walker. And people just dug into it. My favorite joke that I saw, this isn't mine, can't claim it, but someone going, oh, yeah, the only way that Kyrie would come back to the Garden is with no fans.
Sounds like it'd be the perfect place for Kyrie. Nobody can boo him.
He got booed when he wasn't even there.
Yeah. someone would just get hired, like a team would hire somebody to be part of their traveling team if they could like make them as part of their like group, whatever they could have. And just have them like high up like in the bleachers, just like go up top of the stadium and just boo Kyrie.
I just remember the first when the Nets came to the Garden for the first time, there was someone dressed as Where's Waldo and just had a sign that said Where's Kyrie.
You know what would be kind of interesting is if they do, if they're able to come back, which I hope they are, that like there'll be nobody in there. You could like being able to hear the trash talking, like somebody's got to be ready on the dump button or the sensor button.
I think they don't want that for that exact reason, because there is a lot of expletive trash talk that happens in the NBA, and I don't think they want that picked up on mic.
I think it's that in all sports. I don't think it's just the NBA.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast that had Rachel Nichols on it, and she was saying like, you know, there's a reason when their players mic'd up, like when they cut to like stuff in between play where all you're hearing is like, come on, good job guys, come on, just because you can't play the rest of it, and they go with the most innocuous stuff.
Just the like, if baseball resumes and there's no fans, it'll be real easy for the Astros to be able to give signals for sign stealing.
Yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. The stuff that came out from this last week made me feel positive that basketball is going to try and finish this season. They're also talking about a Christmas start date, which is, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I think a lot of this is going to be kind of piecemeal, and you want to be able to do it where you're not really kind of, you want to try and keep the players and the staffs and anybody, the officials, you want to keep them safe, but you also don't want to like put them in a different kind of situation where they can't go home to families, or you don't want to provide a place for the virus to spread. So
yeah, they're talking about like they would be able to do testing without taking it away from like medical facilities, and if anyone tests a positive, play would shut down for 2 days to test everyone else, and that player would be immediately quarantined.
Yes,
but we'll see. I don't know, that's basketball.
Plus you have The Last Dance. We got Space Jam, finally.
A little bit. Yeah, that was weird footage of like the guys in the green screen suits.
As I tweeted, they were the only people to ever really be able to defend Jordan. And then somebody, I don't even know who they were, retweeted, well, they were quadruple teaming him. But what I never knew was that they had built that like indoor court, that bubble court for Jordan.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And the people that were coming in and playing the games that they were playing as he was trying to get, you know, as he was really preparing to come back.
Yeah, that'd be some fun footage to see. I think, in my brain, I remember him wearing the number 45 longer than he did.
I think it was just the shock of it that he was back. I remember like turning on the TV and there he was. I was like, 45, Jordan, Michael Jordan's back? Because it was like, I didn't have internet. I didn't have like the ability to keep up with some of that stuff. So it was kind of a shock to me at the time. I was like, oh, wow, look, it's Michael Jordan. Holy shit.
These last two episodes were other ones where I'm like, boy, they covered a lot of ground. I'm like, what is even left for the last two?
Well, you've got,
I mean, obviously there's the championship, but.
Yeah, well, each episode kind of is picked up with a championship plus. So I would think that you've got the fifth championship will be part of that episode and everything kind of coming to a head. And then I think the last episode will be that sixth championship, wrapping up the final season, kind of that last dance, and kind of be like that postmortem of everything that happened.
You know what? I didn't know about the baseball strike.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea about that. I wish we had more like going into like what his decision. I mean, I know it's like, oh, there's the strike and he wasn't going to like, he didn't want to go up, but they did a very quick transition from that to be like, and he's back. I wish there was a little bit more like, and what were the steps here to like getting him to leave baseball to go back to basketball?
Well,
that felt very rushed. Like they were just like, I don't know, some stuff happened and he's back.
Again, remember a couple of different things. Jerry Reinsdorf owned the Chicago White Sox, so it was very easy for him to just push Jordan over there.
It was interesting that they still kept him on the payroll, so they could just retain him.
I think there is some interesting parts that you talk about, like we said earlier in the show, history is written by those who were there, the winners. They did gloss over. They did talk about, you know, people saying that trip to baseball was in part because of all of his gambling. And it was like unspoken suspension, because David Stern can't, you know, David Stern outright suspend the best player in the NBA. Like their money making.
I also agree with him. He's like, would I suspend our biggest moneymaker? No, I would not. Like the biggest draw to the NBA, and I'm going to suspend him for 18 months. Would I do that? No. And that's hard to argue against. I mean, I'm there for your conspiracy theories, but at the same time, like, yeah, no, I don't think there's any validity to that.
It's a very interesting part of the history and the mythos of Michael Jordan that I'm surprised that they, because Michael had full control over this. He's been very open in his interviews, but his, I don't know, some of this, like the more sensitive topics, like especially the gambling, everyone knows that he is a avid gambler.
Competitive individual.
Yes. So I felt like they addressed it. I feel like they still kind of handled it somewhat with kid gloves. There's a great tweet series today from a Major League Soccer player or one of the top soccer players in the world at the time. Jordan wanted to play at this guy at this club, and this guy was a member there, so they were able to get him in. And it was like, first it was just going to be like a small group. Ended up being like a bunch of basketball players. Michael Jordan, Samuel L. Jackson was there too. I think there was like, ended up being like eight of them. And this guy brought his buddy, who is also a football player, soccer player. And he's like, his buddy's like, so I hear you like to, would you like to have a wager on the game, Michael? And he's like, of course. And he's like, well, how much? And then Michael goes, whatever makes you feel uncomfortable.
That's amazing. Like $25. He's like, all right, 26 it is.
Like playing a dollar a hole at golf makes me uncomfortable. Of course, I'm a bad golfer. It probably has something to do with it.
I don't know. This whole documentary series has been great. I really have enjoyed every episode. It was interesting him getting emotional over being like, yeah, I probably was an asshole, but I was just trying to push people.
Yeah. And I like that line like where he's like, if you feel like I was a tyrant, well, that's because you haven't won anything. Like it kind of brings up that thought process behind there is a price to greatness. There is a price to winning at that level and to be that good and that elite, which, you know, that's what I tweeted a little bit about somebody like Bill Belichick. And you look at, you know, there's obviously people say he's a very tough person to play for. And a lot of the things I was hearing about Jordan is like, sounds a lot like things that people say about Belichick. You know, sometimes it's not fun. He's hard on you. He makes you miserable sometimes, but you win. They're winners. And I think, you know, you take a look at some of this whole Tom Brady thing. Sure, Tom Brady has some similarities as far as his greatness and number of championships as Michael Jordan does. But I'm seeing more comparisons between Belichick and Jordan than Brady and Jordan. I mean, Jordan, far more phenomenal athlete than Tom Brady is.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady would be the first to admit that he's not a tremendous athlete.
I was talking to my wife about that. I'm like, have we, like, not just in our lifetime, but like kind of in the history of professional sports, has there been a greater all-around athlete than Jordan? My inclination is to say no.
Bo Jackson played two sports at a high level. He played baseball and football. So Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders played both.
I mean, but that's Danny Ainge did it too.
Bo Jackson was a freak athlete, though. Like, there was something like Bo Jackson might be one of those all-time, like, for me, might be up there for like all-time greatest all-around athlete. I mean, there's something he said about LeBron James is a really good athlete, too. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there.
All those guys, though, at that level are freak athletes.
Yes, if you're talking about the best in the world.
They're just genetic monsters.
Yeah. Only two episodes left. It'll be done next week. And then basketball's gone again. It was fun having you back in one form or another.
I'm trying to think of like other people. That's a good question. Like, has there ever been a better all-around athlete than Michael Jordan? I mean, I feel like the answer is probably yes. But it's just like, you know, Bo Jackson would be one of the first ones that come to mind, just with him being kind of a dual athlete. You know, some Olympians out there, there's some really tremendous, Michael Phelps maybe. But again, like, I don't know what Michael Phelps is outside of swimming.
That's the thing, is like, I feel like he does one thing really well, where if you look at like just everything Jordan did, like on
his
the court.
His swing was kind of ugly, by the way, his baseball swing. But Terry Francona, my favorite Red Sox manager ever.
It still blows my mind watching clips of Jordan where he just seems to have an extra second in the air to like do something. He's like, think about it. I'm going to do something different now. Like, it's just so wild to watch. Like, oh my God, he is so insanely good. And of course, every time in this documentary that someone makes a bucket, they need to add a big baseline. Every time a ball goes through the hoop, boom.
Yes.
Which I think is hilarious. Interesting sound decisions.
They would have like Terry Francona and Michael Jordan, like epic cribbage games, I think, like for money. They played some pickup basketball.
No one's ever said epic cribbage game. But that's it for sports. There's none of them. They'll be back sooner or never. But let's move on from sports to going back to one of comics' all-time favorite books, one that's stood the test of time. It went away for kind of a little bit because they didn't like Fox having the rights to it. There's this whole thing with deals and whatnot, but let's go back to a simpler time, the 60s, with X-Men number one by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
It's Jared's Reading Corner.
All right, it's a Jared's Reading Corner, but I want to tackle just one quick thing first before you dive into it. Or, you know what, screw it, you dive into it first.
I have a question.
I have a lot of notes.
I have a question.
Because this is a goddamn mess.
Yes. But question. On the cover, it says, in the sensational Fantastic Four style. What does that mean?
That means that you have a group of at least four heroes or more with a girl that is very underwritten.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And Jack Kirby really has one face for women, so they just all have the same face.
The uncanny X-Men, right? Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. I don't know how I feel about some of it. First of all, Professor X, weird-ass eyebrows and a huge frigging forehead. Massive dome. Also, Iceman, he's definitely pole dancing his way into the first scene. Why is he only wearing shoes? Why does he need shoes?
I mean, we can go back to, like, if you go to, like, a lot of... It's not as prevalent now, but if you go back to a lot of like older like movies and TV and whatnot, the idea of like having the crippled man is all about like male impotence and the idea that like, you know, he has the strongest brain, but the weakest body. But this whole thing starts off really weird. Literally page one has so much weird going on with it. One, Jack Kirby was doing, I think, 5 titles at this point. So he is overworked. Like, the idea is like, hey, do another one. This book looks insanely rushed. It's not great art at all. If you compare this to like even issue two looks fantastic, but issue one is just this sloppy rushed mess. It's not very great.
Yeah, there's not much. There's, I don't know. It just seems very helter-skelter. But it also, what are we, 5 years into this? It feels like, I don't know. I've read this episode. I've like read this issue before. Anytime that Stan introduces a new character or a new concept, it felt very much familiar to me. Like,
say, like you mentioned, literally Professor Xavier calls in his brain telepathically. He's like, to me, my X-Men, they all come running in, including Bobby Drake, who's just straight up stripping. He is working that pole. He makes an ice pole that goes through Angel's wing, which is weird. And he slides down it like by his thighs and his ankles are wrapped around each other. He's just
very athletic. Strong core.
He's twirling down it. It's just a straight up stripper move.
Yes.
And also it's weird that they all jump in. Professor Xavier is at a bay window, like 16 panel grid window. 2 panels later, it's a 2-panel window and the Beast is swinging through it.
Yeah, and the windowsill is still up. Like, the window pane, the slat is still there.
I'm not sure
how that's happening.
Yeah, no, I think he broke the window. I just ran into that the other day. I was watching...
They destroy his house. What about all the ice that Iceman has made? It's going to melt. It's going to ruin the freaking carpet.
I was rewatching the Brosnan Bond movies, because the Bond movies were on Amazon for a month and then they disappeared. I'm like, well, I guess I'm watching the Brosnan ones now.
Ah.
There's a scene in the second one, whichever the second one is. I can't even remember now.
I want to say the second one was Tomorrow. The World's Not Enough, or Tomorrow Never Dies.
I think it's Tomorrow Never Dies. Watching the third one right now. It's not good. But the second, he's like handcuffed with Michelle Yeoh and they jump in through a window where there's,
I believe that's Tomorrow Never Dies.
The one with Michelle Yeoh, but they're handcuffed together and they jump through a window where there is like a window pane that should be separated. And they're like, huh, those handcuffs disappeared for a whole 3 seconds there, didn't they? Because otherwise they would just like completely fall out of it.
It is the second one, Tomorrow Never Dies, with the media mogul, Elliot Carver.
Yeah, where he's Steve Jobs.
Yes.
But I mean, that's just a lot to unpack for one page of X-Men. Also, something that I think is interesting that kind of went away and then they definitely went the other direction. And again, is like they talk about Beast, because you go back, it's like, oh, he's a strong guy with big feet. He's super hairy in this issue. He's got these nasty, spindly hairs coming out of him. Like, he looks nasty.
Well, remember, he turns into a big blue furry guy at some point.
Well, he turns into a big gray guy and then he's blue in Amazing Adventures, if you want to get specific. I think 11 through 13.
Oh, well, I do not know. Anyway, Professor X is a real hard ass. Tardiness will be punished. He just seems to be very, very stringent and very strict on these folks.
He's a real nerd. He's there with everyone, including Slim Summers.
Yeah.
Scott didn't get his name for a little while.
He doesn't keep that name.
Wolverine calls him Slim as a nickname still.
Well, I mean, he's very svelte. I will give him that.
And so we start, it's just a boys club. And then we get introduced to the new student, Jean Grey.
Yeah. Can we talk about the training montages for each of them? Very kind of, I don't know, clunky expositional ways to show like their powers. And which, by the way, Iceman, total dickhead, makes himself into a snowman just to be a jerk to Professor X.
And then he gets a bowling ball hucked at him, like full where force, did he get, and it doesn't kill
where
him.
Where did he get the carrot and the buttons and the rind, like the lemon rind he used for a face, for a mouth?
Don't know what to tell you. Why was there a bowling ball?
Yeah, just out of his... Beast maybe likes to bowl.
Maybe he does. But they get Jean Grey, she arrives, and they all immediately decide that it's the 60s, so let's aggressively sexually harass her. Aggressively. Yes. Oh my god.
Hard.
It's so bad. Including also, Beast who like tries to like kiss her within like 1 minute.
Yeah. Also all of like their clothes. Cyclops' pants. Crazy. That's when Professor X get into the wheelchair? When did they put him in the wheelchair?
Well, that's issue one.
Well, no, because he was in a recliner during the training.
Oh, they picked him up, I guess.
Probably. And then just all of a sudden gives her the name Marvel Girl. Very trustworthy of this young vixen that walks into the Westchester School for Gifted Youngsters. I'll give him that.
And if they're all just like being that aggressive, they're going to be like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm leaving.
Yeah. I'd bring her a whole room of furniture if she asked me.
An interesting thing, and this, of course, was not the intention at the time, but if you can make your own kind of retroactive continuity with it, three out of the four guys, like Cyclops, Angel, Beast, by the way, if you weren't aware of the original X-Men, it's Cyclops, Angel, Beast, Iceman, Jean Grey.
Yes.
But Cyclops, Angel, and Beast are like, what a looker. I can't wait to sexually harass her. And Bobby, Iceman, is going, girls, what a waste of time, who, of course, would come out to... as gay later on. No, they meant at the moment, but it's fun retroactive continuity.
I like how he's like, first he's like, and now I leave you to get to know each other better, and immediately Beast is like, let me be the first to welcome you to the X-Men, beautiful.
Yeah, and he tries to kiss her.
Yeah, and then he gets thrown onto a couch. Yeah.
What a douche.
I like that. He's like, she's like, I hope I wasn't too rough on him. And then Professor X is like, not at all. We don't use kid gloves here. We make our trainings as rough as possible.
And then Magneto shows up. He's going to Cape Canaveral? Cape Citadel? Is it Cape Citadel?
Cape Citadel.
Not Canaveral.
Cape Citadel, where he just messes things up for the NASA people.
He's going to send off some missiles to destroy the humans. How does he make his evil plan know? Well, he takes some metal filings and he writes it in the sky.
Which, before that, the newspaper headline after the rocket blew up, 6th top secret launching. Obviously not top secret if people are like printing it in the newspaper.
And also numbering them?
Yes. But yeah, I like how he takes the metal filings and then signs it. Like, he's got really nice, like a nice signature.
Yeah, it says, like, surrender. Surrender the base or I'll take it by force. And then he signs it in, like, this lovely calligraphy. Magneto.
I was waiting for it to say, surrender, Dorothy. It made me think of the Wizard of Oz.
And he uses his magnetism to do everything. Sometimes he's tying up people with magnetism.
Yes.
Sometimes he's just pushing them away with magnetism. No real concept of what magnets are, Stan.
No.
Or magnetism.
No, he does what he wants.
The X-Men, they all swing in. They're there to save the day. And I think one of my favorite things here, well, I'm not sure I have two favorite things. One of the times when Magneto is saying his evil plan, like one of the things you have to do, especially in the old Marvel style, they call it the Marvel method, where the artist and the writer would talk about the story, the artist usually being Jack Kirby would draw, and then dialogue would get filled in afterwards. On page 15, there's a panel where Magneto is talking, and they just fully put a word balloon over 3/4 of his body. Like, you can see his ankles.
Yes.
It's really weird. Like you're going to see someone getting frustrated. Like, you know, screw it, screw it, screw it. I'm just gonna put it over him.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But then they fight Magneto, and everyone has something to contribute except for Angel, who does literally nothing.
You've left out the part where she's getting dressed in her first, Marvel Girl, Jean Grey, is getting dressed in her first X-Men outfit, and they're all watching her.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
They're all weird and terrible people.
Yes. Especially the line, wowie, looks like she was poured into that uniform.
Great. They're horrible, horrible men.
Yes.
But I just love that the fight happens and they all have something to contribute, but Angel is just like, I'm here, guys! I'm flying! Woo!
Yeah, there wasn't much to it.
He contributed nothing to this fight. And he's like, we all did it as a team!
Angel also has to wear a girdle.
Yeah, to conceal his wings, which,
yes.
Yeah, sure, that no one would ever know those are there.
Yeah, exactly. Then they go speeding through town. Then they go to a jet. Yeah, but they beat Magneto.
Of course.
And Magneto gets away, because, of course, that's what always happens. I'm pretty sure that when he sets the rocket fuel on fire and throws it at him, that's not how rocket fuel works. I think it would blow up. It wouldn't just burn.
Yeah, he does just chuck a tankard at him that says rocket fuel.
Yes.
So glad it's well-labeled. Rocket fuel. Oh, boy. People are... I like a lot of Silver Age stuff. That's not true. I like well-done Silver Age stuff. There's a lot of this crap. And a lot of people don't like Silver Age X-Men. And this is not a good example of anything. This is bad. It has a good cover. I like the cover.
Yeah. Again, it felt like the typical... I mean, I've read a lot of the origin stories now from the Stan and Jack stuff. It felt very format, like, I've read it before. You
That's
know,
that but... Fantastic Four style.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody mansplains anything to the woman in this yet. Isn't that part of the Fantastic Four style?
I mean, that's just Reed.
No. Oh.
Reed is just not great. He never has been.
Yeah.
He likes to smoke a corncob pipe and talk down to you.
Wow. Sounds like you, except we don't smoke a corncob pipe.
So only half then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the origin of the X-Men. What's funny, the reason I was flipping through this on Netflix, I was watching a show I've never seen before that I'm actually really enjoying. It's also very short, so it's not going to last me that long. But I was watching Wolverine and the X-Men. Came out like 2008.
Yeah.
Lasted one season. I get why it only lasted one season. Like, they bill it as a kid's show. It's like, you know, why seven? But it's definitely made for adults. And also, if you don't know the X-Men and you don't know it fairly well, they don't care. They're not going to stop to explain it. So I get why it didn't do well. But also, I'm watching it and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants comes in and they have Blob. And my wife's like, hang on. What the hell is that? I'm like, oh, that's Blob. They're like, because he's fat? I'm like, yes, because he's fat. She's like, isn't the X-Men all about, like, inclusion and being representative of, like, the downtrodden? I'm like, yeah, unless you're fat, though, then you're just Blob and they make fat jokes. She's like, that's not great. So I'm like, I'm gonna reread some early X-Men with Blob in it. And then I reread this, I'm like, yeah, this will work for a show because there's a lot to unpack.
Blob.
Looking back, yeah, it is kind of messed up. They're like, we're representative of the disenfranchised, unless you're a fatty, then we're gonna make fun of you.
That seems kind of mean.
Yeah, it is, right? Like, it's just a weird take.
I shall call you Blob.
And we'll make nothing but fat jokes.
Well.
Hey, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know. It's not great.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe rename the character. Maybe anything else. Like, okay, Marvel takes my advice. Like, all right, his new name is Fatty Fatty Fat Fat.
That seems kind of mean.
No worse than Blob. But yeah, so that's X-Men number one. Also, I like that show. You should watch that show because it's real short because it didn't go anywhere.
And learn about Blob.
I'm enjoying myself. It's a good show.
All right. I shall learn about Blob.
He came in issue 3.
Fatty Fat Fat Fat.
Yeah, that could be his name. All right. That's it for X-Men number one. It's not very good. X-Men number two. It's weird. X-Men number two, the art is much better, but the story is much worse. So I don't know. I guess that's the Silver Age X-Men for you. And then issue 3 is Blob.
Maybe I'll have to look up Blob.
Just a big old fat dude.
I think I've seen Blob before.
Probably. He's just really big. He's like probably, I don't know, 700 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. He's a blob. His shirt doesn't even get down. Oh, no, it's a yellow waistband. Wow. He has no neck. Huh. All right.
But eight chins. All right. We're going to move on from there to your letters, quarantine letters, in this edition of Letters to the Editors.
Now for my favorite part of the show. What did I say? Talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always death.
Here's another one of your letters to the editors.
If you want to write us your own questions, we'll answer them on air. You do it, editorsnotecomics@gmail.com. Yeah, just write whatever.
There you go.
I like this one. This is a nice, straightforward one. Given the coronavirus, who would you want to be quarantined with from a comic book?
I'll let you answer first.
I might have a controversial answer.
Okay.
You're not
That's
gonna like
not
it.
New.
You won't like my answer. I thought okay. about this long and hard.
All right.
So I'm going to preface my thought process. One, I don't really want to be quarantined with anyone. I'm here with my wife. That's enjoyable. And also that's
For
more
who?
Than a...
For who? Her? You?
You son
has anyone,
of a bitch.
Has you, anyone you, checked on her?
You snuck it in there, you son of a bitch. Also, a quick update on the mustache. I don't think I'm going to be able to keep it for that long. I have a very peaceful marriage. Like, we never fight, we never argue, but I did this mustache thing and I am getting openly berated, like, on a daily basis for the first time ever.
I think that you should keep this mustache because it will bring you a dose of humility. I still haven't seen the mustache.
I'm literally getting made fun of every single day.
I kind of want to see the mustache.
It's fine. I'm used to it. It's normal. But yeah, no.
Is it normal? Because your wife is tearing you apart.
She hates it. Yeah, she is cutting me to my core.
Good.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm here at home. I'm getting berated about having a mustache. But there is one thing that I've been trying to focus a lot on, especially on the weekends, and that is lawn maintenance. I like to try and have the best lawn I can. I feel kind of competitive with my neighbors, but I don't want anyone here. So what is the answer for who do I want to be quarantined with? Why, none other than Plant Man.
You know, I respect your answer. And I respect your right to be wrong.
Well, my reasoning behind Plant Man, I don't actually want to hang out with him or talk to him, but I feel like he's pathetic enough that I could just bully him and beat him up and stick him like in a closet with a bucket and then take him out once a week to do lawn maintenance for me.
So you want to imprison this man?
Yeah, basically. I don't want to talk to him, but I think it would make my lawn better if I had a man that could control the plants. Speaking I might have to box a tree because that's a thing that he does.
I think the tree would beat you.
But I feel like I could beat him up. That's the thing. I beat him up, and I don't want to do
you
like
would
other
like
plant-based
conjure vines
characters.
Or something out of the ground and bind you to the ground. You know, this might be the first time I ever root for Plant Man. You've done something, Zach, impossible. You may have swayed my opinion on Plant Man. I have some sympathy for him
because I don't want to do like a poison ivy because she'll just kill me like immediately. She'd be like, "No, none of this. I have to go with someone lame that I can bully."
You've done something that nobody else has been able to do. I kind of feel bad for Plant Man if he were stuck with you.
I'm just going to beat him up and make my lawn better. Let him out once a week.
Or you can put a little elbow grease into that thing.
That's when he can dump out his bucket.
That's terrible.
That's who I'd be quarantined with.
That's horrible.
Make my lawn better.
All
right, what about you?
Well, speaking of lawn maintenance, I just went out. I got some stuff to help. I got some lawn food for my, it's like lawn food, fertilizer, seed. I did it last summer. Lawn was fantastic. So that's on the to-do list. My lawn will be better than your lawn. So there, suck it, Bowen. Who would I want to be quarantined with? A couple, it'd be cool to be like Tony Stark, maybe, because then he'd be like, be able to find the coronavirus cure and I'd be the first one to have it. Kind of be selfish that way, but.
If you're going with comic book version, he's off the booze. Are you just going to like drunkenly over him?
No, we'd have something in common, because if you've been listening to the show at all tonight, I do.
You stopped drinking for one night.
No, more than one night. Come on. Jesus. You are making me sound way worse than I actually am. I am engaging in fitness activity, Zach, daily.
You got to counteract that booze.
Oh, my Lord. You know what? I'm going to come over there and socially distance punch you in the face.
I'll beat you up and put you in a closet.
I'm not Plant Man. Other possibilities, like a Mary Jane Watson or a Gwen Stacy, they'd be kind of fun to hang out with.
So supermodels. You're like, if I had to hang out with someone, and to be fair, I can't really fault you.
Yeah. Who else would be kind of fun to hang out with from the comic book world? Maybe Superman. He's just like, hey, you know, Superman, can you fly down to the store, get me some stuff, come back? Somebody's like impervious to things.
If you had the Flash over, he could just like do all your chores real quick. Like, all right, house is clean.
That'd be great, actually. That'd be fantastic.
Took 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I don't know. There's a multitude of answers.
Plant Man is the obvious one.
Plant Man is not the obvious. Plant Man is never the answer. Plant Man is never the answer.
So I guess your answer is people that can do chores for you or supermodels.
I guess so.
I can't fault you for it. Like, sure, why not? All right, so that's the show.
Somebody fun to hang out with. Maybe The Thing. Everybody hangs out with The Thing to get popular. Maybe I'll do that.
He is a cool dude. He likes to read Stephen King and smoke a stogie.
Yeah, maybe The Thing would be kind of cool to hang out with.
But not anymore, because Marvel doesn't let anyone smoke anymore, which is fine. Yeah. Makes sense.
It's probably better that way.
There was a great Simpsons gag this season where Patty and Selma were going over like, hey, do you want to have a cigarette? They're like, not since we joined Disney. And they pulled out two like Mickey Mouse hats and put them on.
That's funny.
But then in a later episode, they were smoking. I'm like, oh, it was just for a gag.
I like it.
Still funny. Yeah, I liked it. All right. That's the show.
That is the show. If you like the show, go ahead and visit patreon.com/editorsnotecomics. $1 a month gets you this show a whole day early most of the time. And you can also check out, I guess it's over now, isn't it? The Buffy back issue bin?
There's still one more coming out, and all that backlog is still there.
Oh, so you got all that access to the Buffy back issue bin, plus spoiler and spoiler-free reviews of Buffy, Angel, and Firefly when those things are happening. And you can visit
more. Those are all done.
Let's see. You can also find Zach at editorsnotecomics.com, and he's on Twitter at editorsnotecomics.
Yeah, that's the only one really these days.
Yes.
And you had a podcast with a Milwaukee's Buck assistant coach. You have a different show.
Yes, the Coach's Room podcast. We had him on. UMaine women's basketball coach Amy Vashon is our next guest on a show that will come out later this week.
Why does that name sound familiar?
She played at Coney, was a multiple time state champion. She was state champion. She's the head coach of the UMaine women's basketball team. So that's probably why the name is familiar. Her dad is Paul Vashon, legendary Maine basketball coach.
That might be it.
Yes.
And you also have a Twitter. I guess you tweet about The Last Dance.
At Junior Rich. I tweet about many things, Zach.
We'll be back next week. I don't know. We're just kind of make it up as we go because it's a quarantine and there's nothing coming out. So I could be like, we should really like get people ready for this upcoming movie or show or something.
No. Well, looking at the calendar, there's only two weeks left in May. Maybe. Is it my turn for something I love unconditionally?
No, it's still me.
No, you did last month.
No, you did last month. You did Tiger King.
That was back asshole. That was back in March.
I think it's me this month. I'm 99% sure.
Check your records. I feel like we did something that you love unconditionally recently.
All right, fine. No. Fine, we'll figure it out. I'm getting out of the phone.
I felt like I had to watch a movie.
Yeah, it was Tiger King. We did that in April.
Oh.
It's my turn.
Well, damn it.
You son of a bitch.
Trying to steal a month.
Make me watch Tiger King. All right, we'll be back next week for something. It'll be a good one, though. Until then, stay safe, stay clean, and, I don't know, upgrade your home video system.
Stay classy, Space Cats.
There we go.